You are Locked On Sooners, your daily Oklahoma Sooners podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And here we go.
From the 12th floor of 50 Penn Place in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, the home of 1340 The Game and News Radio 1000 KTOK, this is the Locked On Sooners podcast. I am your gracious and humble host, Derek G., thanking you so much for making us a part of your day. And what can we safely say after the spring game? Well, the quarterback battle is definitely over. Jalen Hurts completely dominating Tanner Mordecai. We'll talk about that in segment number one. We'll hear from Lincoln Riley. We'll talk about some of the other guys that look good. Just the overall big takeaways from the spring game. Coming up in segment number one. In segment number two, we'll talk about how Lincoln Riley should be moving this game permanently to Friday night. We'll talk about some of the other musical acts, or at least the type of musical acts that OU should be going for. Although, I noticed on the big screen, there were a lot of 20-something young ladies that knew way more Lee Bryce songs than I ever thought they did. But that shouldn't have surprised me. With as long as I've been in radio, that shouldn't have surprised me. I'll tell you why that's important coming up here in segment number two. Also, what Jalen Hurts said after the game about taking a picture with his teammates and how Nick Saban would have reacted versus how Lincoln Riley did react should not be taken lightly, and why that is going to bode well for OU in the future, especially when it comes to recruiting. We'll get to all that coming up here on the Locked On Sooners podcast. If you don't know who I am, let me introduce myself. My name is Eric G. I work for 1340 The Game in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, and News Radio 1000 KTOK. I also host a channel for the Maven Network, which is maven.io, and they produce a lot of really cool content. But if you want to see Sooner Maven, go to collegesportsmaven.io/Oklahoma. That's collegesportsmaven.io/Oklahoma for some great content. Not only do we post this podcast, we do videos, we do all sorts of stuff. It's the Locked On Sooners podcast, but it's collegesportsmaven.io/Oklahoma for Sooner Maven. And if you like this podcast, download the Himalaya app to your smartphone. And when you get into your car, tell your smart device to play the Locked On Sooners podcast. The quarterback battle is dead and over. Jalen Hurts won it on Friday night. Well, okay. Being completely fair, it was one practice. We have only seen, as the public and as members of the media, we have only seen one practice. But if you go strictly off what your eyes saw on Friday night, then there is absolutely no way you can come to any other conclusion. But Jalen Hurts is the best fit for OU starting the 2019 season. Now, if we're going to be completely, well, first of all, the numbers sort of speak for themselves. You have over 170 yards throwing. You had one touchdown through the air, one on the ground. Most importantly, no interceptions. None. And think about this for a second. If you want to wrap your mind around this, because there were reports that Hurts struggled a little bit in the offense when first learning it. And Lincoln Riley even said on Friday night, and we'll play a little bit of it for you, that Jalen Hurts is far from where he started. So that just tells you, one, how quickly a guy can learn this offense when you're of the caliber of Jalen Hurts, and two, how hard he was willing to work when he came here to OU. That even if he was told, you're our guy, you're our starter, he busted his ass to get to this point. And Friday night, he looked extremely comfortable in this offense. Didn't seem to be missing any calls, according to Lincoln Riley. Got done everything that he needed to get done, at least to satisfy Lincoln Riley. But where I thought Jalen Hurts was extremely important is that you're going to have an offensive line that blocked about as well as they did for Tanner Mordecai. If we're being honest, the offensive line for Jalen Hurts blocked better for him than they did for Tanner Mordecai. And I don't know how much of that you need to read into the fact that Hurts got the two tackles, Mordecai got the two guards. And I will say on the interception that Mordecai threw, that Justin Broyles got, you did see a receiver fall down, and I thought a couple of times Mordecai's receivers hurt him by falling down. Still, as the game wore on, I thought Tanner Mordecai did get better. He had a big run in the second half, and he was getting a little bit more accurate, but there's no way I could sit here and tell you, even as I defend him, that I thought there was anything he did so much better than Jalen Hurts, or I thought things were so uneven that this isn't Hurts' job. And as we go back and talk about that offensive line, no matter how good Bill Beatenbow is, that offensive line is going to need to gel as a unit as the year goes on. So from week to week, you're going to see them get better. But while you're muddling through those first weeks, you need a guy that can play on the run and can improvise, and Hurts certainly proved that on Friday night. First play out of the gate, or one of the first plays out of the gate, running and then hitting Nick Basquin in stride. I mean, he's going to be able to make plays with his feet, and we had been told that going into that game, and we were also told that the OU coaches were a little bit quicker on the whistle than what the referees were Friday night, so you really got to see this kid's running skills, and all in all, I don't know how you couldn't be excited about what he is bringing to OU this coming year. Some other guys I thought looked good. Look, if we're just talking about overall as a unit, receivers dominated as a unit in that game. Jaquill and Crawford, I thought, stepped up, played tremendously. And the pass there, the catch that I'll remember from him was when Mordecai threw it. He sort of plucked it out of the air at midfield and made a great reception. Wow. Theo Weiss had a big touchdown there at the end of the game, and you can see where that big frame of his, that big 6'5 frame, is going to come in to play. But all in all, I mean, just that group as a whole was everything that you heard about them on paper. Trajan Bridges. Ah, yes, Trajan Bridges. About slipped my mind there. The pass at the goal line where it felt like he was falling down, and then Austin Stogner, who I think I called Stronger at one point, but Austin Stogner catching that ball going out of bounds. I mean, they all made these tremendous plays. I'm trying not to get overhyped about it, get too hyperbolic, because I do want to see these guys. I want to see how they perform in that first game with Houston before I get overly excited. Then on to UCLA, and then obviously through the Big 12. But all in all, I mean, I would give, for the most part, the receivers an A, give Jalen Hurts an A+. Actually, I give the receivers an A+. Running backs, I didn't really feel like we really got to see them all that well. Defensively, one turnover. Which I guess if you're just looking at praising the quarterbacks, it's a good thing. But Alex Grinch had stressed turnovers. Justin Broyles had the only turnover in the entire spring game. So I'm not real, I don't know how all in all I feel about that. Would have liked to see more. But then again, I got to remember what Lincoln Riley said. You had some guys get hurt. You didn't want to risk them playing in this game on Friday night, so it wasn't worth it. So at best, you can give the defense an incomplete. The offensive line's really hard to grade since they had them split up. But I don't think under the circumstances, with as many guys as you had on the shelf going into spring, and with the questions that you may have had at quarterback, or the questions about the young receivers, I don't think you could have had any better result from an on-the-field perspective if you're an OU fan. So with that, let's go to Lincoln Riley, and let's hear what Lincoln Riley had to say about the way that Jalen Hurts performed during this game.
You mentioned this was just one practice, one scrimmage for Jalen. For, you know, for those of us who can't see those other practices and scrimmages, where did his performance tonight stand up to what you've seen through the rest of the spring? I mean, was this medium or hot for him, or?
I thought he had a good night. I mean, I think it's been a, you know, kind of a constant improvement for him. It's certainly a long, long way from where we started, but it was good to see that as we progress, then he gets into a situation like this and trusting the things that we wanted him to trust. And I thought he showed some of the progress that he's made, so I was proud of
him. Lincoln, what about Jalen? Looked like he was poised, and you could tell he's an experienced quarterback out there, couldn't you?
Yeah, I thought he handled it well. You know, made some nice plays in some scramble situations. Made some good decisions. Some good decisions. pocket, got settled in quickly. You know, he felt pretty settled in the whole time. So made some, gave some guys some chances to make some competitive plays, and the guys really on his side responded and made a good number of those. So, I thought he did a nice job.
Do you have any problems running the offense, or you know, getting into the calls you wanted him to and things like that?
Oh yeah, he was good.
I will say this much about Tanner Mordecai. That kid, one thing that kind of impressed me about Tanner Mordecai was his demeanor after the game, because he came across like he had just lost the Texas game. And it's a spring game, and I think it would have been very easy for a guy like Tanner Mordecai to come in and go, you know, hey, look, I'm playing against a guy who won 25, 27 games at Alabama, only lost two, had opportunities to play for national championships. He's older than me. He's a better athlete. And it would have been very easy for him to just be, I guess, for lack of a better term, just kind of okay with it. Certainly was that. He was extremely disappointed in his performance, which to me shows me the kid cares quite a bit. And even if he wasn't the favorite going into this, and he's working his butt off to push Jalen Hurts, it shows me that he still wants this pretty bad, and that this still means something to him, and just being second isn't good enough. And that's the kind of kid I want backing up Jalen Hurts or any other quarterback at OU. I want that kid who wants to be number one and is devastated when he's not. Not devastated to the point where he can't go out and play, but devastated enough to work his butt off. And you certainly got that with Tanner Mordecai. This is the Locked On Sooners podcast. Coming up next, why this needs to be a permanent event on Friday night. The results are there. We talk about them here on Locked On Sooners. Don't forget to download the Himalaya app to your phone. It's the Himalaya app. Just go to the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store. Download that. Get into your car. Tell your smart device to play the Locked On Sooners podcast and subscribe on Google Podcast and Apple Podcast.
You are Locked On Sooners, your daily Oklahoma Sooners podcast.
Thank you for listening to the Locked On Sooners podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Make sure you subscribe via Apple iTunes, Apple Podcast, or Google Podcast, or you can go to LockedOnPodcast.com and see all the other podcasts we have in the Locked On Podcast Network. 50,000 plus showing up to OU Spring Game. It is absolutely, we talk about the big winner being Jalen Hurts because he dominated the quarterback performance. The big winner was the fans and was OU, because now OU knows, A, they need to move this game to Friday night permanently. If you're going to get results like this where you give fans a grand total of 3 days notice to show up and you can get 50,000 plus on that short of notice, if they know the game is always going to be on Friday night, then I see no reason why you can't increase that by another 10,000 next year and get 62,000 in the stadium. I mean, I don't know if you'll ever get to Alabama levels where you sell out the spring game, but I bet you can get pretty darn close. And I don't know how much you saw of the weekend on social media, but a huge recruiting weekend, a fruitful weekend, as OU gets a couple of commits out of the situation for the 2021 class. But there was an event at the Chesapeake Energy Arena. There were tents set up after the game on Friday night where there was a dinner going on and there was music. And if you're a prospective student athlete, you walk in, you see 50,000 plus on a Friday night, and you see a game set up that looks like an actual game, and the band's there, and there's this concert beforehand. There's no way you can't help but get caught up in the atmosphere. And I think in no small part, that ended up leading to a couple of commitments this weekend. And it's huge for Lincoln Riley. And we'll play you some audio from Lincoln Riley where they've talked about moving this game tonight before, but they've always been concerned about the weather. And then irony, well, they moved it tonight because of the weather. But you're on to something here, and you knew you were on to something. And it probably, I don't think it could have turned out any better for OU. It probably more than exceeded Lincoln Riley's expectations for what the crowd was and the way they reacted to it. And I think for the players, you got a little zip, because you go out there on a Saturday afternoon when you've been practicing this entire time. I think to an extent it still feels like a scrimmage. This felt like an actual game, and I thought guys got after each other, and it was about as physical as you could expect to see an inter-squad scrimmage be. It was just great. And as far as Lee Brice goes, I was impressed by how many college girls or college-age girls looked like they knew their songs, although I should have known that, because country music in radio, it's a format. It really is. Its target audience is women between the ages of 18 and 34. So I shouldn't have been that shocked by seeing how many girls actually knew his music. But I will say this, and I do think that's important, 18 to 34, which means you do have a lot of college-age girls that listen to country, so you are still appealing to that college kid to show up at the game, spend money, have a little fun, and have a good time, and mainly be there to support your team, fill the stands, and wow recruits. And the more girls you can bring in, that's not a bad thing. Really, you want to bring in as many of those girls as you possibly can, so young high school kids can take a look and go, okay, so this is what I'm expecting. This is what I can expect when I get on campus. So going country is not a bad thing. Still, I think you're going to need to, at some point, grab an artist that is more appealing to recruits and grab an artist that might be a little bit more appealing to the male demo of that college age group. I would say stay away from the bands I like, because I like old man rock. I think the only band you could I heard Lee Brice was over $100,000 to play for the amount that he did. But the only one you could afford was Alice in Chains. Unless you want a lot of guys my age, middle-aged dudes running out there with baggy shorts and backwards hats and putting on flannel, which I don't think would be a really good look. You can't go get Alice in Chains and Metallica and Pearl Jam. No, you're not going to get acts like that. But I would say keep with country. First and foremost, keep with country, because you bring it in the young women. And then second, I would go, you know, I don't know that I even go rock. I would just go hip-hop acts after that. Because you get a big enough hip-hop name, especially an up-and-coming artist, that's going to wow kids, that's going to impress them. But I think more than the artist, it's the fans showing up, how enthusiastic they are. You had the former Sooner show up to be coaches, and some guys that were currently in the NFL, like Dede Westbrook. All that plays into it. Great job by OU. In fact, let's hear from Lincoln Riley on why this weekend is so important and why he thought his staff did such a great job.
There's a lot that's gone into this, and it gets talked about behind our walls probably more than, you know, people outside of it would imagine. Every single little detail, everything that's done out there on the field, every video that we shoot to promote it, you know, again, I've been really pleased with that our administration has believed in our vision, because financially there's a big investment there, and you've got to, especially last year, they had to have some blind faith with us, and then I think everybody saw the result of, you know what, if you invest in this and you do it right, and we got out in front, we didn't wait for other people to do it, we did it first, and it paid dividends with a monster recruiting class that had no more single important day than that spring game last year. And so our administration's really backed us, and it's been a large investment there, but it's worth it. And because what one great player, what one great student athlete on this sport, on this campus, is worth to this university is more than probably what we invest as a whole. I mean, it's that big. And so we, you know, it's taken a lot of work. It really has. And it's been, everybody's had to do their part, and they have. You know, the administration's done it, the staff's done it, and then, you know, I'm thankful we've got a fan base that's responded. They've understood that this is important, and they were here tonight, they were here last year, and listen, this thing's just going to get bigger and bigger. Eventually we're going to pick a day where we have good weather, and then we're going to have 75,000 people in that thing, but it was pretty darn good tonight.
There's a lot to unpack there, and we'll replay that tomorrow. But the key thing that he said that we're going to talk about tomorrow is that line about how much a prospective student athlete is worth, and it's worth more to the university than what they spend. Very important. I don't think that should go unnoticed, but hey, give it up to yourself. If you showed up there on Friday night, give it up. It was fun. A lot of fun to be a part of that. This is the Locked On Sooners podcast. Hey, coming up next, speaking of things said on Friday night, why we shouldn't take what Jalen Hurts said lightly at all, and why that is ultimately going to benefit OU in the long run. This is the Locked On Sooners podcast. Don't forget to download the Himalaya app to your phone so you can listen to the Locked On Sooners podcast in your car via your smart device. Download the Himalaya app, then get into your car and say, hey, smart device, play the Locked On Sooners podcast. And also subscribe via Google Podcast and Apple Podcast.
This is Locked On Sooners, your team every day.
Thoughts and prayers going out to the family of John McLeod. John McLeod, former basketball coach at OU, at Notre Dame, with the Dallas Mavericks, with the Phoenix Suns. Thoughts and prayers, John McLeod passing away at the age of 81. And we've posted more on that on Sooner Maven. But our thoughts and prayers certainly are with his family. This is the Locked On Sooners podcast. I am Eric G. And hey, Jalen Hurts made an interesting comment after the game on Friday night. Essentially what Jalen Hurts said is that you can have more fun at OU than you can at Alabama. Now, why? Okay, those weren't his exact words. I'm twisting his words. That is how I interpreted them. If you don't know the story, Jalen Hurts, after that first touchdown that OU had in the spring game, or the red team had in the spring game, and they won 35-14, his offensive unit went and took a picture. They went and took a picture after in the end zone after that touchdown. Jalen Hurts said after the game, Nick Saban would have kicked his butt for something like that. Lincoln Riley, on the other hand, not so much. He encourages that. That's fun. I have always said, when it gets around that you are at a place that has fun and you win at a high level the way that OU does, then kids are going to be more attracted to that atmosphere. Right now, what are they attracted to at Alabama? They're attracted to the checks that Nick Saban has Xeroxed and framed, the first checks that all those NFL guys have. They're attracted to the fact that they're on TV and that they're playing for national championships. But most importantly, it goes back to those checks and the opportunity to get into the NFL. Well, OU is most likely going to have two first-round picks this year between Kyler Murray and, I would think, Cody Ford, possibly a third with Hollywood Brown. That's huge. Two, if you see Nick Saban on television as a kid, why on earth would you want to play for that guy? Think about that for a second. You're going because you think Alabama's going to help your star a little bit better, but why would you want to play for Nick Saban? Because even in the limited access that Alabama gets you, Nick Saban just comes off as an old curmudgeon-y dude. Sure, he's successful, but what about that is fun? What about his offense is fun? What about anything Alabama does just screams fun? Now, I don't know, maybe the students have fun. Maybe the fan base is fun because there's a lot of drinking in the South, and we all know about the tailgating in the SEC. But as a player, you're not getting to experience that. You're not getting to experience the tailgating or the co-eds or anything like that on a Saturday night. You got to play. And while Nick Saban may make you a better player, you're not going to enjoy playing for him near as much as you are a guy like Lincoln Riley. It really is the best of both worlds. I've always said the one thing that Oklahoma State had going for them was Mike Gundy and the mullet and the fact that this dude is fun. And it's a huge thing. And I think in no short terms, it has given Oklahoma State access to kids that they otherwise would not have had. Not only are they successful, but it looks like a fun place to go. Well, Oklahoma is not only successful, but they're successful at an extremely high level, and they're fun, attractive. And when you have somebody that actually has the experience of playing for Saban and the experience of playing for Lincoln Riley and can actually compare and contrast, even if he doesn't rip Nick Saban, as a high school kid, you're going to listen to that and you're going to think, well, wait a second. My first question to Jalen Hurts is, where did you enjoy playing more? And now, granted, I think Jalen Hurts would probably never say that out loud publicly, but privately, he'll give you an answer. And if that answer is Oklahoma, as a kid, that goes a long way for me. So, yeah, I just, best endorsement OU could have had, best thing that could have happened to OU that entire spring game was just Jalen Hurts saying those words about Nick Saban versus Lincoln Riley, painting OU as a loose, fun, great atmosphere to be around versus the stodgy, professional, and I don't necessarily mean that in a good term, buttoned up Alabama program. Jalen, thank you very much, maybe for being Oklahoma's number one recruiter. This is the Locked On Sooners podcast. I'm Eric G. Thank you for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow, and we'll hear more from Lincoln Riley. We'll hear from Jalen Hurts. I'll even play that quote tomorrow. I'll also let you hear from Tanner Mordecai. We'll talk about it all here on Locked On Sooners. And until tomorrow, may God bless you and your family. Everybody love everybody. Peace, love, and Boomer Sooner.
You are Locked On Sooners, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or tell Alexa or Google to play podcast Locked On. Don't worry, I won't finish. You get the idea.